Listen. Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello, we're here with the NFC side of our 2017 preview show, and I'm with the same three jokesters as last time. We have Neil from the Redskins.
Hey, Greg, how you doing? I just wanted to pay homage to the great Brett Musburger and say, Greg, you're looking live at Aberdeen, Scotland.
And we also got Kevin on the line, not in prison again.
Not in prison again. How is everyone tonight?
Doing great. And we also have Dawn from the beloved Ravens.
The beloved Ravens is right. Glad to be back on here, guys, to talk about, you know, my humble opinion, the inferior conference. But yeah, we'll see what we say.
All right. Oh, well, we're going to just let the bloodletting go here. We are not talking about the Super Bowl. This is not for the Super Bowl fans. But we will get them out of the way right off the bat. Let's just go to the NFC South. Let's start with that division. And let's hit the Falcons right off the bat. So, Dawn, since you were last, let's make you first. Do you have any takes on the Falcons? Do you see them repeating in this division? Do you see them improving? Or do you think Shanahan leaving is going to really hurt them?
I mean, I think it'll definitely hurt him, you know, if he ends up leaving, which all reports indicate he will. Just based on this last, I mean, it'll be hard to repeat this kind of offensive success 2 years in a row. It's just a rare thing to do. As far as the division goes, I mean, I definitely see them winning it again. The only room for improvements, I guess, would be just what it's really been all year for them is the defense. I mean, Vic Beasley's had a really good second year. You know, another pass rusher opposite of him. Yeah, I'm trying to think of their linebackers. I mean, I know of, you know, Brooks Reed and Beasley on the outside, but I can't think of, you know, who their inside linebackers are off the top of my head. So I think that's probably their biggest issue, I would say. But I mean, it's obviously a good team because they're in the Super Bowl. So I would say down for them would be my opinion, just based on how good they were this year. But I do expect them to win the division again.
Okay. And Kevin, so down from 11-5 is Don's opinion. What's your take?
I wouldn't necessarily. I don't necessarily think they're going to be going down from this year. I think their offense definitely is not going to be as good as it was this year. But I think their defense is definitely going to be improved next year. I mean, they looked pretty good last week against Aaron Rodgers. Their pass rush is slowly coming along. Their offensive line also is pretty good, definitely top five unit in the league. I'm not sure the contract status for everyone on their offensive line, but they're definitely in good position there. I mean, as long as Julio doesn't suffer a season-ending injury like he did in 2014 or whatever year that was, the Falcons' offense with Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman in the backfield is going to be hard to stop. And I don't really like the other teams in the division, to be honest. We'll get to that shortly, obviously. So almost by default, I'm going to say the Falcons are going to repeat in 2017. I wouldn't be surprised if they go 11-5. Can I push on this? Like, they'll be similar just because their defense will improve, but their offense will take not a step back, but they're not going to put up the same gaudy numbers they did as this year.
You can absolutely push. That is a realistic possibility. So, Neil, last comments.
I think you mentioned it at the start there, Greg, and I think it's a huge point, and that is Shanahan leaving. I don't think we know yet who's going to take over as offensive coordinator there, but it's not only taking over the offensive coordinator job. Shanahan, of course, brings with him the zone blocking scheme. And that requires a certain style of offensive lineman, especially. And yeah, it's going to be really fascinating to see what they do there in terms of replacing him with a guy who's going to play the same scheme or not. And you only have to look back a year or so to see the Matt Ryan who played before Shanahan was there. And if he returns next season, then I can see them dropping down a few games. Carolina, I think we'll speak about them in a moment, no doubt. But Carolina, I don't think will be as bad as they were this year. So that division will be tighter. The other teams there, they're coming onto a game, aren't they? We've got some good, yeah, I think good teams there. So I think I see them dropping down a couple of games, but possibly still winning the division just, but in a much tighter race than this year.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think the absence of Shanahan going forward and the questions that could lead to Matt Ryan does leave the division open to someone else because there is quality here. And let's carry on to Carolina then, Neil. We'll stay with you here. You know, with Carolina, my biggest fear is this Luke Kuechly or whatever his name is. He might, you know, hang him up or maybe he should hang him up. And how's that going to affect him?
Yeah, that would be a blow to them because he is really the heart and soul of that defense. They've also got, I think, Kawan Short is going to be a free agent. We'll just wait and see if they franchise him and then keep him. They had franchised Norman last year but didn't keep him. So we'll see what happens with them. I just don't think they can be as bad next year as they were this year. Now, I know a certain gentleman on this podcast who's going to be speaking momentarily is not a Cam Newton fan. I'm still a Cam Newton fan. I still think he can get back to the player he was. I wonder last season if he just took it all a little bit for granted after that great season he had previously, and maybe he'll knuckle down again. He certainly needs to knuckle down and get himself back on track because he has the ability to be an upper echelon quarterback in this league. And if he comes back to any form, yeah, they can do quite well. It'll be close in that division. Interesting to see where they go in the draft, Greg. And maybe Kevin and Don have a view on that. There's a lot of talk about them looking at a running back in the first round, maybe Leonard Fournette. And they could certainly do with that balanced running passing attack that we saw the season before last when they were absolutely devastating. Lots of questions for Carolina, but I think they will get back to a certain level of strength in 2017.
Okay. And moving on to Kevin, the known hater of Cam Newton here. The GM did say just today that he will not reach for a tackle, which I think is a huge mistake for them. They got to prioritize something. So what's your take on the Panthers here?
First things first is I think Gettleman, the general manager, is definitely kicking himself for rescinding the franchise tag on Josh Norman. I mean, going into this year with two rookie corners starting for you, recipe for disaster, and it was a disaster. Their secondary was god-awful the first half of the year, slightly improved the second half, but that was a poor decision by Panthers, the Panthers. And I do agree with you. The Panthers do desperately need to improve the offensive line. They did have a lot of injury on the line this year, which didn't help them out, but Michael Orr needs to be replaced desperately. There was just, like I said, a lot of injuries on the line. There's a lot of question marks there. And I don't know what pick the Panthers have. Do they have the 8th or 9th pick? From what I've seen, and most mocks at the moment have Leonard Fournette going to them, which I wouldn't be opposed to because Jonathan Stewart is definitely getting up there in age, doesn't really have the same explosion as he once did. But the Panthers sort of need a lot of things. Like I said, the offensive line. I think they need another wide receiver. Ted Ginn is like his favorite target, it seems like, and that's just not going to cut it because Kelvin Benjamin is way too inconsistent. Devin Funchess disappears for months at a time. So the Panthers need a lot of things, and depending on the status of Luke Kuechly, they may need a linebacker because Thomas Davis is also pushing 35, I think. So the Panthers, I think, are finding themselves in a hole, haven't even gotten to Cam Newton. Everyone has said, I'm not a fan of his. I'm looking at his stats right now. His highest completion percentage in one season was 61.7. Career completion percentage of 58. So he's not a passer. He's not a passer at all. He's proven that time and time again. He just looked disastrous at times this year. Looked very uncomfortable in the pocket almost every snap. there's just not much to like about Cam Newton, his 2016 version. Yeah, he lit it up in 2015, but honestly, his numbers, his rushing numbers is really what sets him apart. I mean, and that, as we know, is not a recipe for success in the long term, and he's already proving that because he suffered 2 concussions, I think, this year. So his physical ability is waning, and these hits are taxing on him. So I think his descent will happen quickly. I don't like the Panthers one bit.
All right, Don, here's your chance. What's your last word on the Panthers?
I agree with what they both said, really. I mean, they're big, you know, obviously big concerns, secondary, running back and offensive line. I mean, Jonathan Stewart's a lot of tread on the tires, always hurt, either a foot or leg injury. His time is done, in my opinion. I agree with everybody. Where do they end up with? 5 wins? 6 wins?
6.
Somewhere. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel good about them going in. There's a lot of weaknesses on there. I think they're going to be pretty much for the same as where they were this year, possibly at the bottom of the division.
Okay. Now moving on to the young and sexy team, we'll go to Kevin here first. Kevin, we're going to talk about Tampa Bay. What is your impressions there?
When the Bucs played the Cowboys Sunday night, Week 15, I think it was, I was actually very impressed with Jameis Winston. He looked, even though I think he did throw 3 interceptions, we must remember that one of them was on a Hail Mary at the end of the first half, so he was just taking a shot. We're not going to hold that against him. And his second one, his third interception was in the waning minutes of the fourth quarter, I think less than 30 seconds, so he needed to make a play and threw a pick. Not his fault. It's something Romo would be criticized too. So, you know, I'm going to cut him a break. But Winston is the real deal. So their defense, I think, needs to improve a little bit. Vernon Hargraves, I think, I'm not sure exactly how he did this year, to be honest with you, but I think he had a respectable rookie year. Brent Grimes, obviously, I think he was their best corner this year. Not sure if he's going to be on it. He probably signed a 1-year deal going into this year, if I had to imagine. Could be wrong on that. But the rest of their defense seems to be pretty legitimate. They have some great young linebackers in Quan Alexander and Levante David. So they do need a wide receiver, though, to go opposite Mike Evans. Should have probably started with that. And probably a tight end. Although the tight end, I forget his name at the moment, but sort of did pick it up at the tail end of the season. But they definitely need another offensive weapon or two to pair with Mike Evans, and I think they could do some serious damage.
Okay, and then Neil, what's your thoughts on them?
Obviously, Tampa Bay, they just have that, you have that feeling with them, don't you, that they're on the way up. They're on the way up, slowly building. Obviously, Winston is terrific, and looks like he looks like the real deal, doesn't he? And I think the tight end Kevin was talking about there, Cameron Brate, who became a real red zone and favorite weapon for Winston, and that's a terrific thing for a young quarterback, isn't it? So they've got that going for them. I worry about their running game. You guys will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the muscle hamster went off with some substance misuse problems that he went into rehab for, and yep, he may be facing a suspension, and if not a suspension, he may struggle to be back on the field this coming season. That will be a loss for them, and I wonder if they look at a running back in this running back deep draft class. Otherwise, I think what I do recall seeing in Tampa Bay was Winston getting sacked or pressured a lot, so maybe. Maybe a bit of offensive line help later in the draft, but certainly a team on the rise, and they can put it together. And boy, that receiver Evans is one hell of a player.
All right, Don, last word for you on the Bucs.
Yep, Neil stole all my thunder on that one. I mean, the one concern would be the running game for me. I mean, Doug Martin, you got that big second contract that running backs get, and he'll never see the end of it. I mean, he could be done now, judging by, you know, his problems and then, you know, the way the team has handled it. You know, Jameis Winston's been a lot better than I thought he would be. He just seemed very raw coming out of college, but man, he's done well. They can get another receiver opposite of Mike Evans, take some pressure off of him. I think they could be doing some good things in the near future. Defense is pretty young as well, so yeah, I think they rise. I think they're going up this year, and I think that I really think they contend with Atlanta for the division title.
I agree 100% with you. So moving on to finish off this division, let's stay with Dawn since we made him wait so much here. We're going to go to the Saints here. And, you know, the Saints are, the offense is great, but they got that 38-year-old quarterback. What do you think? What's your overall impressions? They were 7-9 last year, Dawn.
Oh, I mean, they Michael Thomas, you know, as a rookie this year, was a really nice find for him, but I think they're going down this year. I think this could be the end for Breeze. I mean, assuming he stays on the team at all, because there was rumblings about that all through the season. It seems like a callback to the Colts. I mean, they need 11 new players on defense. I mean, how long has that defense been bad? And it just stays that way, which is, it's always mind-boggling to me. Running back is an issue. I mean, Mark Ingram, you know, got his second contract and was hurt. Banged up this past year. 7-9, I think will be a stretch for him to get that far. So I see the arrows pointing down for the Saints.
Okay. Kevin, what's your thoughts?
Pointed to it with Drew Brees might not be returning to New Orleans. I think Sean Payton's status is up in the air as well. And I think that will be interesting, obviously, to see if he stays in New Orleans, because if he doesn't, I think that will influence Breeze's decision, obviously. And I think we'll know before Breeze whether Sean Payton stays or goes. So I think that's something to look out for. But obviously the Saints defense needs to improve. I mean, they do have some young pieces in Sheldon Rankins. He was hurt for the first half of the year, but in the second half of the year, he showed some flashes. He showed some things. He looks to be a solid player. They have some other nice players on the line as well, but they need help in the secondary. They need new linebackers. So they have one or two pieces. We'll give them that on defense, but they need a lot of help on D. Obviously, Drew Brees, we discussed him. We'll move around him now. Michael Thomas, great rookie campaign, so that's great for them. Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, they need a new tight end, Kobe Fleener. That sort of is not going to work out. I hope the Saints figured that out after 1 year. He sort of ended up putting up respectable numbers, but he's not good. But I agree with Don. I don't really like where they're going in 2017.
All right. Neil, your last word on the Saints.
Yeah, I agree entirely with those guys. 7-9 this past year. They'll be lucky to get 5 wins next year. I thought we were going to get out of this Saints chat without a Sean Payton comment. But, John, move on, Greg. I can't stand that guy.
Neil, same. I can't stand him. Oh, my God.
He is the worst. Yeah.
He is, yeah.
All right, well, let's stay on this unusual path, and let's go out to the NFC West. And I don't know, Neil, we'll just stay with you since I can't think. But let's go to the Seahawks. What are your impressions of the 10-5-1 Seahawks heading into the year in Earl Thomas?
First of all, Greg, it's good to know that when you can't think, I'm the name that pops in your mind. But moving on to the Seattle Seahawks, I would say that Seattle Seahawks have one major need this season. Okay, we can talk about Earl Thomas and the difference he had on that defense and all the rest of it. But my God, have we seen a worst offensive line in the league? It's awful. It's by far and away one of the worst offensive lines I think I've seen for years and years in the NFL. It's got to be sorted. It's got to be fixed. They were lucky to get Wilson through that season. I think this year he was injured Did he miss a couple of games throughout the season with injury?
No.
I don't think he actually missed one.
He was very hobbled in the first 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, he had... He looked like me on a Friday night playing football, Greg. He was covered in so much Lycra and so many athletic supports to get him through the game. I felt at one with Wilson this season, but no, he struggled to stay there. So yeah, give him an offensive line. They need tackles, guard, center, anything at all. I think in the game against Atlanta. Atlanta's backup offensive lineman who was playing on the defense, I think, made one of their guards look like Bambi on ice. So, no, it's a shocker.
All right. Don, what's your take on these Seahawks?
Yep. I mean, offensive line's got to be their focus. I was reading an article, you know, they have obviously had a poor offensive line. I think Pro Football Focus graded them last in the league, which...
Yeah,
is surprising considering how good they have been. But I was reading an article they've invested a lot of capital into that offensive line. It's not like they're not drafting guys, but they're just not working out. I mean, just doing a search on them. This was in December, an article that they're still trying to find their best five starting linemen in December, mind you. So that can't happen. That's a OTA training camp preseason situation. Just a lot of guys playing out of position, and Russell Wilson's too good. You don't want to break him. I mean, a lot of times he would even have a clean pocket, and he would still be very uncomfortable and trying to scramble around, just because he wasn't used to having good protection. So, I still think that they win the division, though. My boyfriends coming into this year were the Cardinals, and obviously we'll talk about them in a minute. The Rams and 49ers aren't going to be going anywhere. So I still see if they can get, especially if they get the offensive line improved, which hopefully they will. I think they'll do it again. I see them on the upswing.
All right, Kevin, last word.
I'll make this quick because Don and Neil pretty much hit on the biggest priority, and that's 100% offensive line. They need to improve it at all costs. It's just, we said the Jets were a dumpster fire. That offensive line is a dumpster fire. I mean, they were starting George Fant at left tackle. Like when you were watching Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, you would hear Gruden say, "Oh, this is his first action since eighth grade." And it's like, what is even going on right now? So the Seahawks, oh my God, it's just, thank God Russell Wilson is a mobile quarterback. Otherwise, he would be 6 feet under in some stadium right now. So yeah, offensive line, and I guess secondary, because their secondary, although great, Earl Thomas, his injury did show they do have some weaknesses back there. So that's
okay.
Good for the Seahawks offensive line.
Okay. All right, Don, let's go to you first for your boyfriends here, the Arizona Cardinals. You know, is their window open still, or is it closed?
Now, as much as I liked them going in this year, is how much I dislike them going in next year. I think their window's closed. I mean, with David Johnson, they're obviously maybe the best back in the league. They may surprise me. But Carson Palmer, coming off of that 2015 season, just a really good year, maybe, one of his best years, if not his best year. Obviously, you just saw such a decline in him, which is not, I guess, looking back on it, it's not unusual for him because he's never been a, consistent year after year, top five, top 10 quarterback. Larry Fitzgerald pondering retirement is always a worry. Defensively, I think they'll still be all right. I mean, Calais Campbell's been so good for so long. He's in his early 30s now, probably, 32, 33, I think. So his time may be coming to an end. Patrick Peterson's still there, obviously. Hopefully Tyrann Mathieu comes back, because I really didn't like him coming in at all, just based on his attitude, but he's had a really good career so far. But yeah, I see them maybe breaking, you know, even over where they were this year. But yeah, I don't. It's not looking good for them.
Okay, Kevin, what are your thoughts here?
I was never a big fan of Arizona coming into the season, to be honest with you. I was never, I mean, Carson Palmer, he did have obviously a great season in 2015, but I just knew he was gonna fall back down to earth this season. I mean, believe me or don't believe me, it's obviously easy to say that now, but I do promise you I saw that at the beginning of the season. Anyways, Larry Fitzgerald, obviously, I don't think he's going to retire, but they do need some offensive help because Michael Floyd, obviously, no longer there. That first-round pick 3-4 years ago didn't work out at all. John Brown suffered a lot of injuries this year, was nowhere near the same player he was in 2015. So they need wide receivers. They need them sort of badly. The offensive line also in Arizona needs to be improved, especially in the NFC West when you're going against Seattle and Los Angeles, rather, two times a year each. They have some of the best defensive lines in the league. So their offensive line, which is questionable at best, definitely needs to get better. But overall, I see them trending downward because Carson Palmer's not going to get any better than he was this year, and they don't have anyone behind him. So they need to start looking for that next quarterback in Arizona, 100%. Maybe Romo will go there. I don't know. If he does, then I'll obviously completely flip my narrative on the Cardinals.
A couple years ago, I thought Jake Locker was going to go there, and I thought it was a great fit. Didn't happen. But Neil, we know how you love your Roger Craigs of the world and the Marshall Faulks. Go ahead and just gloat about David Johnson here for a few.
Yeah, if anybody's going to join that very exclusive club that Roger Craig and Marshall Faulk are the only members, then David Johnson's got to be up there, hasn't he? Is he going to get his 1,000 yards rushing and his 1,000 yards receiving next year? He's going to see a lot of the ball because like everybody said about Palmer, you know, is he done? He's probably not done, but he's one hit away from being out with his team, and you can see that coming in any game next season. I also worry about Bruce Arians, Greg. Do we want him to come back? The guy, what did he? He had a couple of spells or three times he was off with medical issues, and I just hope the guy is okay and somebody's taking him aside and saying, come on, Bruce, do you really need this at your age and with your health condition? Go away and do a Kubiak and just enjoy life. I'm not sure. I do worry about him a little bit. And you asked if the window was closed on the Cardinals playoff and Super Bowl chances. I think the window slammed shut last year. And I think 7-8 they won't get to 7-8-1 this season. I think they'll be lower than that. I really do.
All right. Well, let's stay with you here, Neil. Let's go on to your favorite trading partner, the LA Rams here.
Yes.
There's hope this year. There's a new coach. But, you know, they got Gurley. Like, he had a huge step, negative season. They don't have a first-round pick. They have a couple guys that are due for their fifth-year options, you know. Just what are you feeling about these LA Rams?
Well, obviously they've got the new head coach who was the Washington Redskins offensive coordinator for the last couple of years. A really young guy. He's probably younger than you, Greg. And he's a good offensive coordinator. Sometimes he overthinks things, and we didn't like his red zone offense, and we didn't like all those bloody end zone fades he threw last year to our tiny little receivers, and none of them paid off. But obviously, I mean, he's a respected guy, and he's got a chance in there to work with Goff. And I think he did a lot with Cousins, so Goff is lucky to be getting him coming in. But what's he coming into? He's coming into an absolute shambles of a team. Yeah, you're saying no first-round pick, and that's terrible. The fifth pick in the draft, and they're giving that to Tennessee. That hurts. The offense in general hurts. Greg, you posted something about the 2014 draft in the first round there, on Slack today, and you see who the Rams took with the second pick. That was Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle. Or is he a guard? Or is he, or what is he? Is he an NFL player even? It doesn't look like it. Just a shambles. And it, even defensively, that kind of fell away last year after the previous years where they looked like a, you know, a really, really solid defense with, I think, was it Quinn who got a lot of sacks a couple of years ago? He seemed to disappear this season. Even Donald. I mean, teams are just running away from Donald, going in a different direction and taking him out of the game. Yeah, I see a hard job for McVay. I wish him well. He did well for us at Washington, but blimey, that's one hell of a... Well, it's one, poor old Los Angeles. I mean, they get the Chargers and the Rams. Bloody hell. Could it get much worse?
All right, Don, let's give him some hope here.
I mean, they're going to trend up, I guess, just of how poor they were this year. Hopefully you see some kind of improvement in Goff, because Todd Gurley, I'm sure, just saw just 8 or 9 man boxes, you know, pretty much every week. They're another team that's invested a ton of draft capital in offensive linemen and hasn't worked at all. I think a couple years ago where they ended up taking what, 4 or 5 offensive linemen. One of them was the kid in the supplemental draft. But it's Greg Robinson's a huge disappointment. I mean, lately it seems like, you know, offensive tackles, like the clear cut, 10-year all pro, you know, safe pick, they haven't panned out as well as they have, you know, say 10, 15 years ago. So I would say trending up just based on, can they be any worse?
All right, Kevin, your last thoughts here.
They got 4 wins last year. Can you believe that?
They could definitely be worse. So I do think they could possibly be worse than 4. But I just want to – Greg Robinson, obviously a huge bust. The funny story about Greg, I think when they went to – I forget what week it was, but when they went to travel to New Orleans, his hometown, Greg Robinson invited his entire family and some extended family to go to the game, got him tickets and all that. And Jeff Fisher, being the great coach and man that he is, benched him for the game. I mean, sorry, I shouldn't have led with that was funny, but you got to laugh at that, right? No. Or am I the only one?
No, that's great.
But anyway, yeah, Greg Robinson, huge bust, second overall pick. Another team in the NFC West that needs to improve the offense line. So I guess that's how these teams get through it. If every offense line in the division stinks, they're all the same, I guess. So it doesn't really matter. But Jared Goff obviously needs to improve. It looked dreadful this year. Todd Gurley is not going to get any better unless the offense line improves. Sort of disappointed me this year. He couldn't make anything for himself. I mean, I think he went the first 13 weeks of the season without a 20-plus yard run. So he really disappointed me this year, even though he had no help on the offensive side of the ball. I wish he showed me a little more than what he did. And the Rams' defense is obviously their strong point. Their defensive line, great. Their secondary was a little shaky this year after Jenkins left, but so I think they need to address that a little bit. Aaron Donald, obviously a stud, but he also has a little bit of a temper. He gets some personal fouls here and there, so he needs to cool it with that. He needs to become a leader on the team, and he can't be throwing temper tantrums, which he does often, actually. When your best player is a defensive tackle, you're not going to win a lot of games. I hate to say it. So,
but Kevin,
3 wins, 4 wins, what?
Kevin, who's going to score for that team? Who's going to get the ball in the end zone?
That's obviously Gurley can't do it, right? Yep. So I don't know.
Austin,
I don't know that they need. Yeah, and Tavon Austin, like, he's a nice little gizmo and gadget player, but he was the 8th overall pick, I think. Like, complete disaster. Oh my God, the team is just a joke. At least they got rid of Jeff Fisher, but he sort of like fit the Rams. I wish he sort of stayed there because it was just so fun making fun of Jeff Fisher. So sort of disappointing that he got fired, actually.
So which one of us is going to make a bold prediction on the Rams ranking at the end of the season? I mean, are we going to do a Jeff Fisher? We're not going to get 7 wins.
We'll be bold, Neil. We'll give him 2 wins in 2017 as of now, because I think Jared Goff is not going to be good. Easy to say that now, obviously, but he just didn't show any promise at any point during the season. So 2 wins, it can be easily done in the NFL. So I think the Rams definitely have what it takes to accomplish it.
I'll give them 3 wins, because they'll beat Seattle twice probably.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. It makes no sense.
Amazing.
All right, let's move on here to the 49ers. And
we're giving up Rams chat.
Yeah,
thankfully.
I mean, at least we're going to the Niners. We can still bash on them.
Ah, here we go. Yeah.
So, all right. Who's going to be unlucky here? Neil, you're unlucky today. So, you're going to go first here, and I think that 7-9 record for the 49ers is equal to them making it to a normal team making it to the Super Bowl. So, go from there.
Greg, I think you're being too hard on us. I think you should take San Francisco. Gosh, another team. They're going to get Shanahan, yeah? Shanahan's going to be the coach there. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Yeah. And then at some point, they're going to get a general manager. Now, that may be before the season. It may be, who knows? I mean, most teams like to have the GM in place before free agency and the draft, but I could see the 49ers offering up a different model and maybe getting the GM sometime around about July. We'll see. Another team, and we went from the Rams, who are a mess, to the 49ers, who are even more of a mess, perhaps. The big question is going to be quarterback, hasn't it? Who's going to be the quarterback for that team? Is Shanahan going to bring something out of Kaepernick?
No.
Exactly. I can't see it. He's had 2 or 3 coaches now. Nothing much coming out there. Running game, they've got Hyde at running back. They've got a couple of pieces on defense, on the defensive line, but we said it with the Rams, you don't win many games just because you have a decent player on the defensive line. I don't see it, Greg. I can see the great eternal battle next season of San Francisco and LA battling over that number one pick with the Jets.
All right, Don. Yeah.
I'll make this a quick. I'll make this a quick one. They're going to be really, really, really bad again.
Yeah.
Don, follow up on that. Carlos Hyde, is he worth owning in your fantasy league or something here?
Yeah, because I have him in a couple dynasty leagues. He's a another guy that's always had just like nagging injuries. He's had the foot problem recently, which is never good. But there is no one else in that offense. So if he's healthy, it goes through him.
All right, Kevin, say what you want.
I just want to say I'm not a big Carlos Hyde fantasy player because he's always injured. He's proven that he's always injured, and he faces a lot of hard defensive fronts. So I'm not a fan of Carlos Hyde. But I get that he's on your dynasty roster, so you need to have the hope. And I hope it works out for you. But let's see. The Niners, oh, God. Such turmoil. It's like they need their own podcast for how much turmoil they're in. They have no quarterback. They have no wide receivers. Their offense line, I don't really know anything about it, to be honest with you. But I imagine it's not very good. Navarro Bowman's had 2 season-ending injuries in 20 months now, or is it? So that doesn't look good for him. Eric Reed and Eric Armstead, they're like 2 of their last 3 first-round picks. They don't seem to be getting any better. I don't think you can find one positive thing to say about the 49ers, to be honest. So they're definitely trending downward because they have almost nothing positive at any of the positions. So, yeah, it's going to be between them and the Rams and probably the Browns again for the number 1 overall pick yet again.
Mm.
2017.
Yeah.
Difference. Sorry, Greg. The difference for me between a Cleveland and a Rams and a 49ers is that I can sense positivity in Cleveland, and there's a sense of a direction they're moving in. I don't know which direction the Rams and the 49ers are moving in.
I'll tell you this much. That sense you have is not in Cleveland. So it must be external from the fan base. So
yeah. So Greg, what about the number two overall pick? The 49ers have got it. Which direction do they go with the number two pick?
Well, I mean, if Garrett's there, they go Garrett, right? There's no question about that.
He's not going to be there.
Well, I mean, the Browns are picking one. So let's...
That's right.
Anything's possible. So,
but they need... They're like the Rams in a way. There's no point in having a quarterback if you don't have any weapons for him.
Exactly.
So what comes first?
We'll find out in 3 months here. So, All right. Let's get off of this this less than stellar division. Let's go to what Neil feels is the best division in football. We're going to go to the NFC East, and we're going to start with the division winners. Oh. And Kevin, do you want to go first or last here? You want to go first?
Oh, whatever you want for me. I'm not
picking. For it. Go for it. Your Cowboys are awfully healthy this year. Are they going to do 13-3 again?
Well, I think it will, to be honest with everyone here, I think it will be hard for them to go 13-3 again. But I think their future is obviously extremely, extremely bright. Dak and Zeke, obviously rookies. So we need to take advantage of that for the next 2 or 3 years to build a Super Bowl contending roster with paying such low salary to two premier players on our team, one being the quarterback. Seahawks know all about that. So we need to take advantage of that for sure. But they do have cap problems going into the offseason. I think at the moment they're actually $6 million over the cap, so that's not good. But they're definitely going to restructure Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick's contracts. That's going to clear up some cap space. They've done the same thing with Tyron Smith for the last 2 years now, I think. Morris Claiborne, Barry Church, and Brandon Carr are all free agents, which is a little troublesome. I'm a little scared about that because we're not going to be able to retain all three. I would prefer if we could only get two of the three, Barry Church and Brandon Carr, because Morris Claiborne, although he was improved this year, he can't stay healthy. So if you're not on the field, you're no use to me. And Brandon Carr, fun fact, never missed a game in his career, which is impressive, very impressive. And Barry Church is one of the emotional leaders on the defense, along with Sean Lee. So I would really like him to come back. We're also going to have Lyle Collins, who was put on injured reserve in week 4 this year, I believe. So we probably are going to lose Ronald Leary. So we'll have him to just slip right into that spot without losing a beat on the offensive line. I think the Cowboys should also look into addressing replacing Doug Free, who's the obvious weak spot on the offense line. But to be honest with you, he's pretty capable at right tackle. I mean, the Cowboys mob loves coming after Doug Free and also Terrence Williams, but they're just easy targets. Doug Free, he's not that agile due to his old age. He doesn't have the best feet, but he's a great run blocker. He does get called for some holding penalties, but you got to take the bad with the good with Free, and he's shown he's a competent enough player. So if the Cowboys can address it, it'd be great. If not, honestly, don't really care that much. Terrence Williams and Bryce Butler, we're going to have to choose between one of those two to come back. We might not even choose to re-sign either of them. But I think we'll take one of them back. My personal preference, I don't really even know if I have a personal preference. Probably Bryce Butler, just because he's younger and has more potential. But what else about the Cowboys? I could obviously talk about them all day. Justin, our Seahawks fan, was throwing shade at Des Bryant the last 2 days or so. So that was not a fan of that. He called him a just another guy, which I thought was preposterous and downright offensive. So I looked up some stats. He obviously didn't have the best numbers or season this year due to injury. And same with last year. He missed 9 games in 2015. So obviously a quick glimpse and you're going to be like, oh, Dez, not very good anymore. But in his last 9 games, Dez had a catch rate of over 68%. So mind you, in the first 2 games, he never had played a snap with Dak Bryant. Dak Prescott, apologies, obvious. Besides for a few snaps in the preseason. And then he got hurt pretty much in the first quarter in the Bears game, played the rest of that game injured, missed the next 3 weeks. So he never really had time to mesh and connect with Dak. And he sort of caught on with him, and they sort of connected in the latter half of the year, and it showed. And I just said he had a 68% catch rate his last 9 games. And the last 4 games, Dak to Dez, 75% success catch rate. So, I mean, he's an extremely, extremely talented player. He is a little inconsistent at times. I will give Justin that. But he has such potential. He's such a game breaker. He is anything but just another guy. So, very offended. Very offended, and I'm sure Dez Bryant would be as well. Let's see. Yeah, the Cowboys, they're trending upward. Their record might not be 13-3, but they're definitely going to be trending upward.
Well, you know what the Cowboys like? They like first names that start with D. There are 3 letters. So we'll go to Don here.
it's hard to follow up. I mean, Kevin obviously knows his team. I would say 13-3 would be, you know, hard to repeat, because you're going to have guys that are going to be leaving. So I would say they'll be down a little bit this next year. I think the division will tighten up. I think the Giants will give them another run for the division. The Eagles, you know, should be improved. And I think the Redskins, if they get a little bit extra on defense, I think they can contend for it too. But I mean, obviously, Kevin, I believe you like where your team is at, and I do too. I mean, they're a good team. I think they're going to be good for the next several years as long as everybody stays healthy.
Okay, Neil. Well, Redskins are next on the docket. So say your last word on the Cowboys. You can start off on the Redskins.
Okay, I think 2 things with the Cowboys. Well, 3 things. First of all, I think Kevin's right. I think they're a good team. They're going to be there or thereabouts next season, without doubt. Salary cap issues are major issues. I think they're $8.9 million over the cap at the moment. Now, obviously, the other question with Dallas is Romo. And what happens with him? Does he stay? Does he go? What happens with the salary cap number there? That could be the difference between them getting that impact defender in free agency, which I think they need anywhere on defense. Just somebody who can make plays, make an impact on defense. They need that. Obviously they're set up for a good run when you've got your running back and quarterback on the rookie wage scale. So that was they'll be fine. Dallas offensive line still going to be good. In terms of Washington, the question for us, as with so many teams, is around the quarterback. The current rumor is that we will be doing the non-exclusive franchise tag on Cousins again if we can't get a long-term deal. There's talk of maybe the 49ers being sniffing around there with Shanahan wanting him to be the quarterback of the 49ers. And you know something, Greg? The more I think about it, the more I would take a couple of picks for him and go in a different direction. But, well, we'll see what happens over the course of the next couple of months. But that's a big story for Washington. I'm not going to go into the entire roster. I think there's there's another show in that one. But, no, it's quarterback. It's quarterback issues for Washington. And if we get that sorted out, get a long-term deal for Cousins, we'll be there or thereabouts, like Don says, but maybe still 1 or 2 players away on defense. Our defense is terrible. It's like 26th-ranked defense in the league, and you're not going to go far in the playoffs with that sort of defense.
To come back at you a little bit on the Cousins thing, when my quarterback Ben got in trouble in Georgia, I was willing to trade him for the first overall pick at that point. And that would have been one Sam Bradford. So you got to be careful what you wish for.
Having said that, you could then have spent about 5 million tweets with Patrick discussing the merits of the Sam Bradford deal.
That's okay. But I just wanted to know, what's the feelings in Washington on Dotson? Are they cooling off on him because he was hurt all year?
I think there's a general... it's one of these things, Greg, when you have a broken leg and you've got a cast on your leg, everybody can say, oh yeah, you've got a broken leg. But this guy had pain in his Achilles, and it was difficult to diagnose the actual problem. So some eyebrows, let's say, were raised over his ability to play through pain. I don't think there's any question about the guy's ability. He looked great when he was in practice and in preseason, and I think he played a few snaps in game time. They just got to get him on the field. I don't think it's a problem when he's on the field. It's getting him on the field.
Okay. All right, Don, we'll go to you since this is like your second local team there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, living in Maryland, a lot of Redskins fans around. I have a lot of good friends that are Redskins fans. I mean, they're usually very pessimistic when it comes to the season. Defense has got to be the priority. I mean, I like Kirk Cousins a lot. I think he's good. Offensive line actually played pretty well last year, which I didn't anticipate. I mean, Trent Williams is getting older, but still really, really good left tackle. They don't have, I guess, besides defense, I don't feel like they have a real explosive running back. Fat Rob Kelly came on towards the end of the year, with the starting job, and did some good things, but I think they need more of a game breaker running back. Chris Thompson's a pretty good, third down pass catching running back, but not a guy you're going to rely on, for all three downs. If they can get a little couple pieces on defense, I think they could be all right. I think they're going to be right back in contention again. And I think they're as long as Cousins is back. I really think they're going to be right about the same. They'll lose either DeSean Jackson or Pierre Garçon or both, as the rumors indicate all year long. If they bring any of them back, it'll be interesting to see. But again, as long as Cousins is in the fold, I mean, I like them for the next couple of years to be contenders for that division.
Can I just come back to you there, Don, on the running game?
Yeah, sure.
I think part of the problem was not so much the players, but the fact that McVay and Gruden just didn't make the commitment to the run, and they left the running attack very quickly in games. They moved away from it as soon as they were like 1 point down in a game. Boom, we were just pass.
Absolutely,
I didn't like that.
I mean, having we saw what happened with Jordan Reed being healthy for the full being healthy for was he fully healthy in 2015? I feel like he was.
Most of certainly the bulk of the season, yeah.
I mean, if he can stay healthy, which is not a good thing to bet on, I guess with him. But I like him a lot. Vernon Davis is not Jordan Reed. I don't even think that really needs to be discussed any more than that. Rob Kelly. I mean, I had to go back to the fantasy talk. I picked up Rob Kelly in a couple dynasty leagues. Did some good things, but again, I think if they have a little bit more pop there at running back, I think they could make a really good offense even better.
Yeah. Somehow in fantasy football, I always end up with Chris Thompson on my roster. I think he's like a poor man's Theo Riddick.
Yeah, there'll be that game where he gets you like two or three touchdowns and then just nothing for several weeks. But not a bad player, though.
No, excellent player. Yeah. So, yeah. Kevin, here's your last word on your division rival.
I actually like the Redskins for next year. If they keep Kirk Cousins, that is, and it sounds like they will be. But I was going to ask Neil, do you think they're going to get rid of both Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson like Don said they will? Do you think that's like a real possibility? And if so, they obviously need to gain some more pass catches in the offseason.
Yeah, I think the one who has the biggest chance of staying is Garçon. I think Jackson will go There was rumors of him going back to Philadelphia fairly steadily throughout the regular season. I would rather Jackson stayed because I think he's still a premier player. But Garcon, you know, he played really well towards the end, got his 1,000 yards over the season. The one thing you've always got to realize with Washington is McLuhan. McLuhan is he's hard, and he will he likes cutting veterans. He really does a lot of that, and mostly for the right reasons. If you were to ask me to put money on it, I would say neither of them will be back. And if one of them's back, it'll be Garcon.
Okay, so the Redskins should perhaps look to invest in a few pass catchers this offseason. And you guys both said it, their defense needs to improve. Their defensive line was not very good. They were not very good against the run all year. I mean, their secondary, how was your secondary this year, Neil? With Josh Norman, obviously you had your ups and downs, but for the most part, I think it was acceptable, no?
He was acceptable. He was a penalty waiting to happen, which was very frustrating at points in the season. But in terms of his actual play, yeah, he was good. He was good. Our issues are at safety. That's where our issues are there in the defensive backfield. And in terms of going back to the wide receivers there, if Doxon comes through and starts next season, they can play him, and they've got, of course, a terrific slot receiver in Crowder. Yeah. And we quite like Harris and Grant, the backup guys. But yeah, we'll probably take a receiver, but not high up the list. It's got to be defense this year.
You need defensive line for sure.
We need defensive everywhere.
Yeah, and going back to one last thing on the Cowboys, I can't believe I just realized I didn't really say anything that they needed to get. I just went through a bunch of players who will be missed if they leave, but they obviously need a pass rush that showed against the Packers. Need one desperately. And now we can move on to the next division.
Well, we can finish your division first. So, Don,
Eagles. How could I forget?
These two guys are spinning with their heads here on their own teams. Let's go to the New York Giants. Let's have you lead us off here. What are your impressions of the 11-5 Giants?
I mean, they surprised me how they came together this season. You know, the premier thing, you know, all the talk, especially towards the end of the season, was how much money they spent on the defense. And it actually worked. I mean, just watching them play and seeing the numbers on them. Good defense. You know, Olivier Vernon, you know, obviously had the massive contract, had a good year. Be interesting to see what happens with Jason Pierre-Paul if they bother to bring him back. I mean, obviously with his hand injury, he hasn't been the same since and may never be any good anymore, but we'll see what happens there. Offensively, Sterling Shepard had a pretty decent year, in his rookie year receiver. Odell Beckham. I guess their focus would have to be offensive line, which seems to be a broken record at this point. And then figuring out the running back situation. I mean, I got to think Rashad Jennings has got to be, they got to be moving on at this point because he's, 31, 32 years old, and you can't rely on him to stay healthy. He's never really been healthy for his time there, especially. We'll see. See if they gave more and more work to Paul Perkins as the season went on. We'll see if that carries over. I like them. I could see them dip in a game or two. So I'll say the arrow's down a little bit on them. But yeah, as long as the defense can have stay together like they did this past year, I think they'll be in contention. Towards the end of the year.
Okay, I think you hit on their weaknesses perfectly. And, Kevin, what running back would you like to see? I mean, non-rookie running back. Is like a Eddie Lacy or somebody like that? Do you think that could be in play for your division rival?
So I would love if the Giants got Eddie Lacy. That would be wonderful because, frankly, I don't think Eddie Lacy's that good. And behind that offensive line, it would just be music to my ears and, oh, my. But one thing I don't want is Adrian Peterson, which someone mentioned on a podcast a few weeks ago that the Giants might be in play for him, which would make me cry. But the Giants, their offense was so bad this year, like so bad. I don't even is Eli Manning on the decline? I don't even really know, but the last 2 years, this Giants offense has not looked good. I mean, it could, a lot of it is due to the fact they have a very bad offensive line. I mean, Ereck Flowers is perhaps one of the worst left tackles in the NFL. They need a running back, obviously. Although Don said Perkins showed some flashes at the end, but even if they do like Perkins going into 2017, they at least need to get some depth behind him. And Jason Pierre-Paul, I don't think he's going to be back with them, which will obviously hurt them. Rogers Cromartie is also a free agent. I'm not sure what the Giants are going to do with him. So the offense, I think, is going to continue to struggle. The defense will continue to be good because they'll retain most of the players or the big-name players. But I don't think it'll be as good as it was this year. So the Giants, I'm going to put them at 9-7 in 2017.
Okay. Neil, you get the last word on this one.
Yeah, 9-7 sounds good to me. Running game's the big issue for the Giants to get some pressure, keep some pressure off Manning.
Okay. Moving on to Philadelphia here. And Don, we'll start with you because this is another local city for you. There's, you know, I was looking back on their stats a little bit and, you know, who was under quarterback for them. And I just feel like since 2010, they haven't had a quiet offseason. They've had different quarterbacks, you know, different weapons all the time. So I wonder if the biggest key for the Eagles is just having a quiet offseason. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, what is it? You know, around the 2010, was like the self-appointed, like, greatest team of all, or the dream team is what I'm thinking of. Yeah, I mean, they had a really good start to this year. I mean, they went 3-0. I mean, they, you know, put a beat down on the Steelers, which no one saw coming, and then it all just, you know, went downhill for them. You know, from what I was always reading, Carson Wentz, you know, mechanically started going back to his old ways as the season went on, which, I mean, he's a rookie quarterback. I'm not too concerned about this at this point. I mean, if we're talking year 4 or 5, you know, that's going to be a much bigger issue. You know, defensively, they're okay as a pass rush unit. Secondary is not terrible. I mean, for me, the two concerns I would say for them would be some little bit of help on the offensive line. Lane Johnson being out for those 10 games for the PED use obviously was a big blow. Jason Peters still playing well, but again, the end's got to be near for him at this point, because he's in that 35-year-old range. He's had some serious injuries over the years. I guess maybe they'll go back to the drawing board at receiver, which I think they should really consider. Running back, I mean, Ryan Matthews is Ryan Matthews. Again, another thing we're talking about, another broken record we're talking about is can't stay healthy. I mean, Sproles re-signed with him, but we'll see if he can keep it up at his, what, again, he's around 33, 34 himself. Having said all that, though, I think they're going to be trending upwards, as I alluded to before. I think Wentz will show some improvements going into his second year. I like Wentz a lot, you know, even just dogging his mechanics, but I think they can still be trending up. I think they're going to be in the, you know, maybe 7-8 win category. And, you know, they'll be contending for maybe a wild card spot until the last like 2 or 3 games or so of next season.
I agree with you there. Wentz's, you know, biggest worries, in my opinion, was injuries. And Neil, it seemed like he wasn't slowed up by injuries this year, and they have to be pretty excited there.
Absolutely. He's if I was picking a quarterback to start a team out of the NFC East, I would take Carson Wentz. No question about it. I think he's the best quarterback in the division almost already, and he will be by this time next year. He looks great. I like him a lot. Like Don, I think they will be closer to maybe 9-7 as opposed to 7-9 from this year, so on the way up. But what they need weapons for Carson Wentz. He's got Zach Ertz there, who had a few big games for him, but it was a little bit inconsistent. The guy just needs either a stronger running game or some weapons to throw the ball to. that's what all young quarterbacks need. If you look at Derek Carr, he's got Cooper. If you look at Winston, he's got Evans. And that helps a quarterback, a young quarterback, a lot. Get a top receiver, and maybe with a 14th selection in the draft this year, following that Sam Bradford trade, they'll be able to get somebody like a Mike Williams or Corey Davis.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, why don't you give us your last words on the NFC East here for Philly?
Ooh, Philly, one of my favorite teams. Carson Wentz, I think he showed some promise, obviously, this year. He struggled a little bit at the end of the year, but I think he will definitely improve in his sophomore year, and I think he's definitely going to be a good quarterback in the future. The Eagles definitely, though, both Don and Neil hit on it, they need help at wide receiver desperately. The wide receiver core they have right now is just not going to cut it. Jordan Matthews, at best, he's a high-end number two. Nelson Aguilar is, or however you pronounce his last name, he's just not an NFL quality receiver. Green Beckham, not good.
Nelson Aguilar, it was a shame he missed the last game through injury, because the guy was close. He was only 650 yards away from a 1,000-yard season.
Well, I mean, the Cowboys were wrestling everyone. He could have done it, right? Zach Hurst had a hell of a game.
Oh dear.
What else was I about to say about this wonderful team? Right, Doriel Green Beckham. I've never seen anyone drop more slam passes in my life than him. He has the horrible hands. So besides Zach Ertz and Selleck, I guess that's a good tight end combo. And it's obviously always good for a young quarterback to have a nice security blanket on their tight end. So Ertz is really the only positive thing I can say about their offense, Ertz and Wentz. Because Sproles, yeah, he's nice, but 35 years old, he's not going to – he'll win you some series and some drives. He's not going to win you a championship, that's for sure. Ryan Matthews, Don hit on it. He's going to get injured again next year. I can already tell you that right now. And, yeah, they need a cornerback. And they need wide receivers, because their defensive front seven can get after it. Brandon Graham's an absolute monster. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. He doesn't have the sack numbers, but he gets after the quarterback like almost no one else in the league. Him and Fletcher Cox are a fierce combination. And they need to re-sign Benny Logan, in my opinion, who is also not quite a stud, but a great player. So
yeah, absolutely.
That front seven, if they can get a secondary behind it, that defense can get really, really scary. So, yeah, that's it for the Eagles.
All right. Let's move on to the NFC North, and the Kings of the North here, the Packers. I guess let's start with Neil.
Oh, God.
Could we be in a situation here where the Packers just need to add more weapons?
Yeah, let's be clear about the Packers. You know, they were rubbish the first half of the season. They played terrifically well the last, what, 7 or 8 games of the season. But they are one-dimensional. That's their problem. They're just too one-dimensional. And okay, that one dimension happens to be perhaps the best quarterback in the NFL, but they're still one-dimensional. And we saw that against the Falcons. Yeah, they need weapons. The offensive line's terrific, I think, but they need running game. They've currently got what, a converted wide receiver playing running back? Eddie Lacy, has anybody seen him recently? He could be here in Aberdeen for all we know. In terms of wide receivers, Jordy Nelson came back, but that was a different Jordy Nelson we saw. That was possession receiver Jordy Nelson. So, yeah, wide receiver, okay, but it was really the tight end that transformed the season, I felt. Is it Cook, the tight end?
Mm-hmm.
He had a terrific end of the season, but can he stay healthy for 16 games? Don't know. And on defense, again, they need playmakers. Will Sam Shields play again? He was out with, what, concussion?
Mm-hmm.
For the whole, yeah, just about the whole season.
Yeah, he got hurt. That
doesn't look good.
Yeah, is he done? Is he coming back? That's a big question for them. Some of their high picks, like old ha ha ho ho Clinton Dix, he played okay at times, but him and Randall, another high draft choice, they looked inconsistent. And did they have a pass rush? I'm not quite sure. Don't think they did.
At times, it struggled. It struggled a lot.
Yeah, if Matthews wasn't on the field
for a bit, yeah.
So I see them. Just to finish off, Greg, I see them. They're 10-6 this season as division champs. I can see them maybe dropping a couple of games, and they've got to fire McCarthy. I can't stand that guy.
Hey, he's from Pittsburgh. Leave him alone.
Yeah, take him back to Pittsburgh.
Gladly. He can be an OC for us. That'd be amazing.
He can. He can manage the pot factory.
Okay. Don, what are your thoughts here on the Packers?
I mean, highly concerned about the defense. Pass rush was a major concern. I mean, Clay Matthews, he is not Clay Matthews of 4 or 5 years ago. Julius Peppers is old at this point, and he's a free agent. We'll see what happens there. Secondary is obviously a major concern. Not just, with the NFC Championship game, but really just year round. They just have to rely on, Aaron Rodgers playing, perfection, which he does a lot, but it's not going to happen every week. Neil had said, the running game. I mean, Lacy's done. Hopefully, James Starks era is done, because he was a decent backup running back, but nothing more than that. Obviously had the injury this year. So some more explosion at running back would be one of their top priorities, I would think. Besides, obviously, the glaring weaknesses on defense. I think they're gonna have a push this year. I think they'll be in right around the same as where they were this past year. Maybe a little bit less on me, a little bit less effectiveness on offense, but if they get a little bit more effectiveness on defense, I think that'll help them out long term. Obviously, with Aaron Rodgers there, I still like them to contend and really, end up winning the division and then competing for another Super Bowl. But I don't have a good feeling either way on them. So we'll see what they do.
Okay. Kevin, any last thoughts on them?
Yeah, I just want to agree with Neil about Mike McCarthy. Completely agree with him. The man is a complete oaf. If not for Aaron Rodgers, he would have been fired 6 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he just terrible, absolutely terrible. But nothing else, I guess. Everyone, you guys have pretty much hit on it. They do need some offensive weapons. They obviously need help in the running back department. They shouldn't re-sign Eddie Lacy. They were thinking about it. I don't know if they are, but they shouldn't. And I don't think they're going to try that experiment for 2017, have Ty Montgomery be the full-time running back going into 2017. So I would expect them to do something in that area. Their secondary needs some help too. Demaryius Randall, after a pretty good rookie year, he didn't really look good this year. Neil said Sam Shields, what's his status? He might be done for his career. That wouldn't surprise me at all. If you miss 15 games in one season for a concussion, it's not a good sign. So they need to do that. And their front seven is also old. Clay Matthews, old, not as effective. Julius Peppers, old and a free agent. Nick Perry, who was one of their best pass rushers this year, who's before this year was very injury prone, and I think he also missed a few games this year, actually, but he's also a free agent. So the Packers definitely need to address the defense this year. But since they do have Aaron Rodgers, they'll contend for the division title yet again in 2017, probably win it yet again. But they definitely need to get some help for him on the wide receiver department, because Randall Cobb, he's not really the player he was anymore. Jordy Nelson is getting out there. Devontae Adams is ascending, so it would be nice to pair someone else up with him. But the Packers, they're if not for Rodgers, they would be in trouble. So they better hope that he plays for a long, long time.
Okay. And staying with you, Kevin, let's switch gears to the Detroit Lions, because I don't want Neil to say Jim Bob Cooter. So what are your overall thoughts on the 9-7 Lions?
Well, I think Jim Bob Cooter did an excellent job. Matthew Stafford, I guess he played the best football of his career this year. He really prevented himself from making the critical mistake. I think he had single digit interceptions this year, if not 11 or 12 only. So he definitely improved in that area. But much like the Packers, the Lions have absolutely no running game. So Theo Riddick is a great, great third down back, great change of pace back, but they need someone who can get them the tough yards. And even when Abdullah comes back, he's not an every down runner, in my opinion, as well. He's pretty much would play a similar role that Theo Riddick should be playing. So they definitely need help there. Marvin Jones, he also quietly, after the first three games of the season, was like a ghost. I didn't even see him on the field. So that experiment is sort of not working out with him. So he's definitely proved to me, at least, he's not capable of being a number one receiver. So the Lions might need some wide receiver help again this year to go along with Golden Tate and make Marvin Jones not carry so much burden on his shoulders. Eric Ebron, the man, I like Ebron a lot, but he also does not stay healthy. I feel like the NFC that's the trend for the NFC this podcast. No one's healthy in the NFC. No wonder the Patriots always win. But the Lions, they're going to be the same old Lions, I think, 8-8, 9-7. Their defense sort of improved. I don't know what they're going to do with DeAndre Levy. He's also been injury prone the last 2 years, but when he's on the field, he's a great, great player. And they do have some young defensive line talent, Kerry Hyder, Zeke Ansah had a down year, but I still think he's a quality player. But the Lions, I think we'll see what we saw from them this year in 2017, and that's an okay team, but nothing special.
Okay. Neil, what do you feel about the Lions?
I think they'll go as Stafford goes in this coming season. I can see them being on the up. I think they had a good year last year, but they need playmakers on defense. Another team who needs playmakers on defense. They need more pass rush pressure to get to the quarterbacks in that division, like Rodgers and Bradford. So yeah, I can see them on the up. They were 9-7 this past season. Yeah, maybe up to sort of 10-6 and a wild card at least, and certainly challenging Green Bay for that division title.
And Don, your last word.
No, I mean, I think both Kevin and Neil really hit the nails on the head. Stafford had a lot of come from behind wins. Running game needs to be improved first and foremost. A little bit more pass rush besides Ziggy Ansah, but. Yeah, I mean, if they're going to be just like a middle-of-the-road team, I don't see them having a huge bump up this year. I don't, as long as Stafford's healthy, I don't see them having a huge bump down this year either.
Okay. Well, let's stay with you, Don. Let's move on to Chicago here.
Oh, do we have to?
Yeah, we do. And you get first crack at them, so that's even better.
Well, what do they end up with, 3 wins?
Correct.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, Cutler's done, right? I mean, Cutler's got to be gone, I'm assuming. There's no way, after all these years of just mediocre at best to poor play at worst, it's got to be done. They may have something in Jordan Howard, so that's definitely something Bears fans should look forward to. Offensive line needs to be retooled. Defense wasn't the huge issue that I thought it was going to be for him this year. With Jeffrey being a free agent, that's a big deal. If he cashes out somewhere, I'd say let him go, because if he gets a $10-12 million a deal per year. I don't think you can rely on him. So I would say let him walk at that. But there is nothing else at receiver, so maybe they pony up the big bucks for him. I say they trend up. I say they maybe squeak out 5 wins in the coming year.
Okay. Neil, what do you think?
The Bears for me are one of these teams who I also get a sense of positivity. They're on the way up. It's going to be a slow climb up. They're well behind Detroit and Green Bay in that division. But I like Cameron Meredith, who played quite well at wide receiver. And I like, as Don said, I like Howard, the running back. So they've got some pieces there. I think they'll get long back on the offensive line. Good pieces there on offense. But hey, Don mentioned it. It's quarterback, isn't it? What happens to Cutler? Does he go? Does he stay? And if he goes, what do they do? They've got the 3rd pick in the draft. They could be the first team to reach for a quarterback there in the draft, maybe a Mitch Trubisky. But that's the big question for them, isn't it? They've got a lot of young pieces on the team, scattered offense, defense. It's all about the quarterback. What are they going to do? And I don't know. I can't see them keeping Cutler. Can you?
No. This feels a lot like the John Fox Panthers when they took the kid out of Notre Dame. What's his name?
Oh, Jimmy Clausen.
Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah, this feels like he's destined to do that. So, what's your final thought on them, Kevin?
Well, the Chicago Bears. I mean, until they find a quarterback, like Neil and Don said, they're not gonna rise too much. But I think they did find some good playmakers on the defensive side of the ball last year in Leonard Floyd. And another young linebacker whose last name I can't even pronounce. I'm not even going to attempt to. But so their defense, their front 7 can get after it. That's for sure. Leonard Floyd, Brunell McPhee, Willie Young. They had a good season, but their secondary was suspect. So they need to improve that. Will Fuller was the cornerback they drafted in 2014 or 15, was it? I think he was hurt for most of this year, but they need secondary help for sure. Their offensive line, I think, is in pretty decent shape. Long should be back, as Neil said. And they found a nice young center. I forget his name at the moment, but nice rookie center that the Bears found. So their offensive line is trending upwards. Their wide receiver core, on the other hand, is trending downwards because Alshon Jeffery, I'm not sure if he's going to be on the team in 2017. Kevin White is apparently prefers not to play football because he can't stay healthy. And that's not a good sign. I think he's played 6 games in his entire career, in his 2-year career. So the Bears need some wide receiver help desperately. Jordan Howard's obviously a plus there, but no quarterback, no good for the Bears. So they'll probably finish in last in the NFC North again in 2017.
All right. And now strategically, I've saved our favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings, for last. They were 8-8, and everyone knows they started, 5-0, and they limped to 8-8 to finish the season. And, you know, they lost their quarterback before the start of the season. They traded a King's Ransom to get it back, to get Sam Bradford. But then they lost their Hall of Fame running back and their starting left tackle in consecutive weeks after that. I'm going to be bold here. I think they're going to be a playoff team next year. I don't care if it's Teddy or Sam Bradford. I think that team is good enough. I think they were the unlucky team that got killed by the injury bug. And I'm hoping they move on from Peterson. I think it's about time. So those are my thoughts. And I just full disclosure, I was pro Bradford's trade, the 1st and the 4th, because I felt like this team was loaded to go to the Super Bowl last year, and they just needed the trigger man. And obviously that didn't work out. But Don, you're in my division. You used to take shots at me. You can have that first.
I'll keep this one short. Peterson's done. You just can't pay that kind of money to a running back, especially, you know, of his age, no matter how good he's been. And I love Adrian Peterson, but his time there is done. I mean, they obviously had they were probably on their 4th or 5th left tackle by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, not that they're not that Matt Khalil was good, but because he hasn't been good at all really for him, but he's better than, you know, the garbage sheet that they were putting out there as it was. You know, Stephon Diggs had his injury issues this year, but still had, you know, put up some decent numbers. Kyle Rudolph had a good year. You like that going forward. Bradford's Bradford. He's never going to win you the big one. He got the completion percentage record this year, which is great. But again, it's very much like Flacco, where it's all just really, really short stuff. Defensively, obviously, you have good defense. It faded towards the end of the year. 8-8. I say they're going to trend down. You know, the loss of Peterson will be something, but I mean, I think they can get over that. But for the love of God, Vikings, please get somebody else as your second running back beside Matt Asiata. I mean, he's just horrendous. Yeah. McKinnon's okay. I mean, you know, as a receiving back, but I wouldn't, you know, be happy relying on him as a full-time, you know, workhorse, quote unquote, running back. Offensive line help has to be the priority for them. But, you know, again, 8-8 limps to it, but I think they'll be trending down this year.
Okay, Kevin, what's your thought?
I was never a big Vikings fan. Bradford is obviously not the answer there. I don't even know what the Vikings are going to do at quarterback. Is Teddy Bridgewater going to be the quarterback next year? Is he even going to be fully healthy?
Because I think he's done.
Bridgewater, do you think he's because when he got injured, they were saying it might be a two year to anything. It was a, I don't know, but I was never a Bridgewater fan to begin with. So
exactly, anyway. Yeah.
So the Vikings, in my opinion, need a quarterback. They need a running back because Peterson's definitely not going to be a Viking next year. And as Don said, Matt Asiata and Jerick McKinnon, as we've seen for the last 2 years, cannot get the job done. So they must improve there. Their defense is the real deal, though. And I think a lot of what their struggles at the end of the year had to do was with Harrison Smith getting hurt, because he's the heart and soul of their defense. He's what makes their defense tick. So him going out with injury definitely hurt them. But they need to get pass catchers as well. And they thought they were doing that with Laquon Treadwell this year, but he barely saw the field, and I'm not even sure why. But that can't be a good sign because he wasn't injured. So the Vikings need to find pass catchers, because Cordarrelle Patterson, another wide receiver bust for the Vikings, obviously can't get the job done either. So the Vikings need a lot of help on the offensive side, and obviously the offensive line. So the Vikings need help everywhere on offense, and they'll be trending downward, because I don't think they have a quarterback with Bradford or with Bridgewater.
Okay. Neil, here's your chance to get the last word in.
Okay, Greg. Yeah, surely the offensive line is the biggest issue for that team. You know, like Don said, you know, Bradford got the completion percentage record, but not all completion percentage stats are equal. And the reason he was completing so many passes was he had about a second and a half to throw the ball with that offensive line, letting guys through, and he was just dumping it off all the time. So that's a real false stat for Bradford. However, he is the quarterback going forward. I think that's going to be the way it works out. But he needs some guys blocking in front of him and a running game. Otherwise, my concern with the Vikings would be there was lots of what was going on in the background there last year. Norv Turner left halfway through the season for reasons as yet unknown, I believe. And then at some point, some of the defensive backs decided to make up their own game plan. And that seemed to almost get a pass from the team. Those things would concern me as much as the size of Adrian Peterson's contract.
No, that's a good point.
I see them trending down.
I believe it. Although you're wrong. So, because I just said they were going to.
Oh, when you said playoffs, Greg, did you mean the NFL playoffs?
Yes, I did.
Just to be clear.
You meant the surfing championships, Neil.
I think so, yeah. Even a shark would just look at them and turn away, you know.
Well, I think we've done a good job hitting this NFC side. And most importantly, I think we've given all of our fellow fans the ability not to be loathing the next 2 weeks. They can listen to this on repeat. So
there we go.
But Neil's reminded me that we have to finish with our division winners. So since Neil came up with the idea, he'll go last. So, Don, you're on the first spot on my screen, so you go first with your division winners.
All right, NFC East, go Cowboys again. We'll go NFC South, Falcons again. NFC West, Seattle again, and NFC North, Green Bay again. Yeah, very original.
All right, Kevin.
Oh, well, I'm clearly going to go with the Cowboys. Now let's see the rest of the NFC. I mean, I sort of tend to agree with Don that all the division winners from this year are going to win, but that doesn't happen ever. So it makes me nervous, very nervous. But I don't see anyone else besides the Seahawks winning their division. So let's not even pencil them in. Let's write them in ink because Seahawks are winning that division. Packers, are the Lions going to contend with them? Because I don't see the Bears doing it. I'm going to give it to the Packers. And then who am I forgetting? I think the Buccaneers are our last hope. It's either going to be the Buccaneers or the Falcons for the NFC South, but I'm going to go with the Falcons.
All right. I'm personally going to take Seattle in the West, Tampa Bay in the South. I love me some, Jameis Winston.
All right.
The New York Giants, I'm going to go in the East. I just think the Cowboys had just too much of a charm season this year. They'll have some regression.
Ooh, I like it.
And then I got to stand up for my Vikings. Apparently, I'm going to go with them.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Going rogue. That's
great.
Now, before you make fun of me, guys, I did take the Cowboys as my Super Bowl pick over the summer. So, just saying.
How did that work out?
When you thought Romo was going to play.
Well, that's true. That's factually correct.
So, where is Romo going to go? Can we talk about Romo for the next 3 hours?
No. We have a whole off season for that.
Yeah. Every week, Ian Rappaport will come up with something false. So.
Romo watch.
All right, Neil, you're up.
Okay, NFC East. I'll take Washington at this point. I think it's a two-way race in that division. The Giants, Greg, seriously. In the North. In the North, I will go with Detroit. I think it'll be between them and Green Bay, and Detroit, just they'll get the little push this year to win that division. In the South, I will go with you, Greg. I will also take Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, and obviously Seattle. I think in the West, I mean Seattle. Who else in the West?
Well, good. Those sound like solid picks. I'm only half wrong, so. Well, thank everyone for listening. For all the super fans, we're signing off, and we'll have some misery next week with having to hear all the Falcons and Panthers hype and going on.
Patriots.
Oh, Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots.
Oh, same thing. Same thing to me.
It's been a long podcast, and we forgive you. We forgive you.
It happens.
But and we will be, we're hitting the podcasts hard next week with a lot of special shows, prop bets, the mats, previewing the big game. And then we're going to take a week off, and then we'll be back second week of February, I believe. So enjoy your few weeks here, and don't worry. I'm sure the stadium will just blow up, and we will not have a Super Bowl winner. So
that'll be fine.
All right. Good night, guys.
Cheers, Greg. Cheers, guys.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.